Okay, we discussed last week the beginning of the Hasmonean Wars, the wars that took place before the cleaning out of the Beis Hamikdash. How literally Yehuda and Maccabee went, and not just guerrilla warfare, but also decisive battles against various Greek generals on the open landscape, and he beat them decisively, so much so that the Greeks realized that militarily they're not going to win the Jews, and they tried to offer him some type of deal, some type of treaty, whereby, you know, he'd lay down his arms and stop fighting the Greeks. And they said, you know, we'll give you back your freedom of religion, and we'll put it in the hands of Menelaus, you know, our good friend, the Hellenized Kohen Gadol, we make him in charge. So Yehuda Maccabee said, thank you, but no siree. This is not what I bargained for. And he refused to make any deal with them. He said the Romans tried to get involved and try to cut some deal, make some treaty between the Greeks and the Seleucids and the Jews, but he refused. And he won battle after battle until he decided to clean out Yerushalayim. Now, he cleaned out Yerushalayim. That was 3 years after it started, really, and he went up to Yerushalayim. The Greeks were still stationed in that citadel, the Chakra citadel, which was on the lower part of Yerushalayim, the lower city. That's where the Greek garrison was stationed. But like we saw last week, he didn't really drive them out at that point. He kept them over there while he went, and they literally cleaned out the entire Beis HaMikdash. They cleaned it out from all the various altars and all the Avodah Zarah that were there. And the story of Hanukkah took place right then and there. 3 years, I think the year 165 BCE, before Common Era. That's when the story of Hanukkah took place. It was after the war started already. He cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash. We saw last week that they didn't have the menorah because the menorah was ransacked. The Beis HaMikdash was ransacked by the Greeks, and rather they used 7 pieces of metal. That's what they used for the menorah. Famous Hanukkah story, they used a 7-piece, said they found 7 pipes, and they lit the menorah with that, and that was a miracle of the Hanukkah story. We said that, interesting why in Chazal, the Gemara really talks about the miracle of Hanukkah being the miracle of the oil, right? Very little is mentioned in the Gemara about all these victories and the victories against the Greeks. If you look in Josephus, which is mostly taken from the Sefer Chashmonaim, so there it's the opposite. It's all about the military victories, and not a word is mentioned about the Hanukkah miracle. Josephus, mind you, does say one place that because to commemorate the victory, so the Jews light candles. He writes, and maybe next week we'll show you exactly when Josephus he writes that Jews light candles. He says maybe it's a sign of liberty. He doesn't mention the Hanukkah miracle. The reason why he doesn't mention the Hanukkah miracle is Josephus takes it from Sefer Chashmonaim. Sefer Chashmonaim was not written by Jewish people. It was part of the Apocrypha. It was not part of the Tanakh, and therefore it was not, Chazal wrote very clearly that the miracle of Hanukkah is not written anywhere, because in those times nothing was written. Everything was done baal peh. So therefore, wherever Josephus got it from, he got it from the Apocrypha, which was not written by Torah-fearing Jews, and therefore they did not write the miracle of Hanukkah, and therefore Josephus does not mention it either. But also, on the other hand, the only source we have to the whole Hanukkah story is really the miracle of Hanukkah. Yeah, we have Rabbim Yad Matim, and we know all these victories took place from all the outside sources, but by us, mainly and foremost, is the miracle of Hanukkah, and the reason we said last week is it really was a sign that the Shekhinah was Shoreh B'Yisrael. The fact that the candles lit, the light lit for 8 days, that showed the Chashmonaim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them, and all their victories and all their efforts were done for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, reciprocated and showed, I'm with you, the Shekhinah is back with you. And therefore, that was such a big yontiv and such a big simcha. Next week we'll see exactly when it says, L'shama Acheres, the next year they made it into a yontiv, when exactly that was. We'll discuss that next week. Well, today I want to discuss something else, which is part of the Hanukkah story, at least it's known as part of the Hanukkah story. We said that even after they cleaned out the Beis HaMikdash, the wars, the Hasmonean wars, did not cease, because the Greeks kept on trying to drive out Yehuda Maccabee. We saw last week that he expanded his territory, because after he was flush with victory and he drove out the Greeks from basically most of Judea, so then there were pogroms against Jews in neighboring countries or neighboring tribal areas, And they called out for help to Yehuda Maccabee. And he went and he helped them. And he helped them and he drove out. And some of them he transported the Jews. We find him, you know, made them make aliyah. He said, what are you saying? Yehud starts for you. You have to come over here. And he made them come, move to Judea. But other times, we find that he literally took control of these countries where the Jews were in danger. And that's how he expanded his kingdom. And it was ongoing the whole time. The Greeks against the Jews. It went on, by the way, for another 30 years. And all the sons of Matisyo all died in battle because these wars kept them going. One of the famous stories of the Hanukkah stories is the story of Yehudis. What's the story of Yehudis? Let's see the Gemara, let's see our sources, let's see where they got it from, and let's see what really took place. Number one on the sheet, the Gemara says in Shabbos Afchom Gimel Amal Aleph, Isha Vaday Matliko, a woman is Mukhuyev to light Hanukkah candles. Domre B'shum Levi. Nashim Chayova is Bnei Chanukah. Women are obligated to light the candle of Chanukah. Sha'afein hoyu bois hanes. Because they were part of the miracle. So what does it mean they were part of the miracle? What does it mean? Hein hoyu bois hanes. They were part and parcel of the miracle of Chanukah. So look in Rashi. Be medayik in the words of Rashi. Hoyu bois hanes. Shegozu yevonim al kol besulois hanesuois lihiboil letafsa tchiller. Because one of the decrees that the Greeks made is that every maiden to get married would first have to be violated by the local Greek tafsir, by the local Greek general. That's one thing Rashi says. Va'al yad isha na'ase hanes. And the miracle happened through a woman. Rashi tells us which woman? Rashi says which miracle took place? Doesn't say. Rashi is very vague. Now the truth is, Rashi on the Rif says, Kagoin, for example, Yehudis. So Rashi on the Rif says Yehudis. It's not clear if Rashi on the Rif is actually written by Rashi, if Rashi actually wrote the parish on the Rif, or they compiled from Rashi, but let's take Rashi in the Gemara. Rashi in the Gemara says, women are responsible chayev in Ner Chanukah. Why? Because number one, the gzera was on them as well. Va'aleh de'isha na'aseh hanes. And a miracle happened because of a woman. Doesn't say what. The Ram goes a step further, and the Ram says, hafein hoyu bois hanes. Shegozru Yevonim, that the Greeks, they decreed, Al kol Absulois and all the maidens, and Nisois, Sheyivalu lehegmoy tchile, Va'alade isha nasenes, and the miracle took place through a woman, Damrino Medrash, because we say in the Medrash, the Bitoi shall Yoichanan, Yoichanan's daughter, Hechilo lerosha oivim gvino lishachusoi, that Yoichanan's daughter, doesn't give a name, gave to eat to the head of the enemy cheese, in order to get him drunk, and she chopped off his head, and they all ran away, and therefore the minig is to eat cheese on Chanukah. Again, the Ran doesn't really say clearly which woman he's talking about. The Ran seems to put it together with the fact, it seems to be from the Ran that it's a offshoot from the fact that it all had to be nivel al hegmon tchila. And this woman, for some reason, maybe didn't want to, and therefore she gave wine, or she gave cheese to the enemy to drink, to whatever, to get him drunk, and she chopped off his head. Again, very vague what the Ran is talking about. The cowboy is even more specific, and that's the story that we know a little bit more better. So look at number three, the cowboy, again from the Rishonim. What? From the Rishonim. V'noshim chayovas b'nei b'nei sefer halacha. V'noshim chayovas b'nei chanukah. Sha'af hein hayu bois and his foremost on halacha. On minik and halacha. V'noshim chayovas b'nei chanukah, sh'af eino yivoy senes. Pirush, sh'oivim bo la'aved hakol, anoshim noshim etaf, that the reason why women are part of the miracle is because they're also going to be destroyed because the Greeks wanted to kill them out as well. That's one shot. V'yesh mefarshim, and some want to say, shal yidei isha, iro lehem anos ha'god alahu. A great miracle took place through a woman, ushmo Yehudis. Her name was Yehudis, k'moshe mefush ba'agoda. Like it said in the Agadah, Medrash. Bas hoysa le Yochanan Kohen Gadol. There was a daughter to Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Vahoysa yefas toya moed. She was very beautiful. Vahoma amelech yovon shetishkarima. He wanted her. Vahilose tafshus agvino kideshitme. He should get, he gave him something to eat, cheese. He should get thirsty. Vahishte l'roiv. And he drank a lot. Vahishtake. Vahishkav. And he slept. Vahirodem. And he fell asleep. Vahi lochein. Vahishkav. Vahirodem. And something happened. He slept and he fell asleep. Vatika chalboy, and she took a knife. Vachoscha roishoy, chopped off his head. And when the soldiers saw Kimesu Giborim, that their general died, was killed, decapitated, so based on this cowboy, which seems to say clearly it was the story of Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and she chopped off the head of this general, and because of that, the miracle took place, all the soldiers ran away, and that's why we have cheese on Hanukkah. Now, the problem with this is a few problems. It says Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now, how many Yochanan Kohen Gadols do we know in the time of Hanukkah? Who do you know? Yeah, who else was a child of Yochanan Kohen Gadol? Who? Matisyahu. So this was Matisyahu's sister. Now, in the Hanukkah story, Matisyahu died already. So let's say his sister was 50 years younger than him, 30 years younger than him. She was Hoysa Yafas, Toya Amayid, woman of 65 years old. I mean, she seduced this general. I mean, it's... I know, but you know what I mean? Does that want to be Mars? A granddaughter. So someone to say that it refers, Einiko. Someone to say it refers to Matisyahu Kohen Gadol. Matisyahu had a son Elazar. Elazar had a son Yochanan Kohen Gadol, who was a tzduki. After 80 years, he became a tzduki. We're going to get to that. This is the grandson of Matsyahu. His daughter was this Yehudis. No, because it could have been, well, yeah, Lazar was a man of 50, and it was a young girl of 18 years old, possible, the oldest child. At least it's not clear. In other words, it doesn't say this happened actually during Hanukkah. We're going to see the Aruch HaShulchan says it happened after Hanukkah's story, and we'll put it all together. But, in other words, the first problem is if it's Yehudis, the daughter of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, which Kohen Gadol are we talking about? Forget about Kohen Gadol means the great Kohen. But which Yochanan are we talking about? We know Matsyahu ben Yochanan, and we know Yochanan, the grandson of Matsyahu.
Yeah,
in this.
He would be Kohen Gadol for many more years.
What was that?
He would be Kohen Gadol for many more years.
30 years later was Kohen Gadol.
That's 30 years later.
No, but it could be she is the daughter, Yehuda is the daughter of Yochanan, who afterwards became a Kohen Gadol.
So after they took over
Well, that's the thing, that it could be that, it depends in what context she went to the general. Now he don't say a reason why. Rashi seems to put both together. We're going to soon see Rashi could very well have learned a different shot altogether. Because look, let me show you. Oh, we're going to get to that also. The Amami Panu says we're going to get to that exactly what the story is. We're going to see what the story is, and what the purpose is, and where it came from. But it's not really clear. Rashi says, there's a Xera, they all have to be violated by the Hegmon, and the miracle is done through a woman. That's all Rashi says. And the cowboy says already, Yudis, the daughter of Yochanan, and she went and she killed this general. He says exactly the story. By the way, based on these Rishonim, look at number 5 on the sheet, Shuchnoch Paskin, Halacha, Yesh Aymrim, Sheesh Lechol Gvina v'Chanukah, you have to eat cheese on Chanukah, Lifishanes Nasa v'Cholav, Sheachila Yehudis as Oyev. Because Yehudis gave the enemy to eat this cheese, he brings it from the cowboy and the ram. The ram don't say Yehudis, but he puts it together. The Mishnah Berurah says, He hoysa bita shal yechne kangol, vaysa gzeira shekol arusa tiboy letafsa tchila. See, he throws in already the fact there was a gzeira like Rashi, that everybody has to be violated by the general. Vehechila l'roysha tzorim gvina l'shachusoy, v'chosros roysha v'ochu kulom. See, he seems to put two stories together. The Mishnah Berurah says, yes, there was one thing that she had to be violated, and the second thing, she went and gave the general to eat. So, before we go to anything, what's the shot in Rashi? So, some want to say, Rashi doesn't mention Yehudis, and Rashi says it specifically because Tiboy Lehegmoin Tchila. So, there is another story which took place with Yochanan, with Matisyahu's daughter. There was a story that took place, and that really was the straw which broke the camel's back. Remember, 2 weeks ago we said that there was a decree that everybody had to be violated by the general. And it was the turn of the sister of Yehuda Maccabee and Shimon Maccabee. They had one daughter. Matisyahu had one daughter, and it was her turn. And then she said, "I don't want to go." And they said, "You have to." And she said, "What do you mean?" And they wanted to bring her. And then the brother said, "What do you mean? We're not going to let our sister get violated." And then they decided the whole revolution based on that story. Look in the Megillah Sinai, number 4. Ubas Achas Hoysel Matzio ben Yochne Kain Gadol, Ukshigiz Manu Linose, when it was her turn to get married, Boha kissed her in the Tamo, so this general came to violate her, Velohi Nichu, I said, the brothers in that let, the Konu Matisio Ubonov, the Gobre Yodom of Malchus Yavon, and they became strong above on top of the Greeks, the Nimsu Biyodon, and they delivered in their hands, the Arogum, and they killed him, Vesayom Shabitlum Osa Yomtov. In other words, this was the beginning of the story. So, they want to say in Rashi, the Rashi's not talking about Yehudis altogether. Rashi's talking about the fact that, why is it part of the miracle? Because the whole nace, Nases al Yodom. It started Alideisha Nasanes. It started because she didn't want to let herself get violated. Matzio's daughter didn't want to let herself get violated, and therefore the entire miracle took place because of her. That's all Rashi means. Clearly, the Kolbe does not say that. The Ram does not say that, and the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah also do not say it. They all say that no, there was a separate story, nothing to do with this halacha of Tiboy Lehegmoy Tchila, the fact that Matzio's daughter was about to get violated. New halacha. That was a new story. There was some woman whose name was Yehudis, and she went and she cut off the general's head, and based on that, we eat cheese on Hanukkah. Which one? The one with Rashi? The first one, Matzio's story. Matzio's saying, they didn't want to say in Rashi. No, there's not clear in Rashi, he refers to that. But definitely all the Rishonim did learn like that. So the question is, where did the Rishonim get the story from? So, ostensibly, they say, well, the only known source of the story is the Apocrypha. The Apocrypha is the Book of Judith, which is Sefer Yehudis, Maaseh Yehudis, which originally was written in Hebrew, but then it was lost right away because we were against writing any of the Tanakh. Only the Tanakh can be written down. Everything else was not allowed to be written down. It was translated into Syrian and into Greek, into all various languages. And only later, now we have it in Hebrew, that's the last thing on the sheet, Sefer Yehudis, it's a translation of the Greek and of the Syrian, which was translated at that time. Now, the other side, Mati, front side. No, that's something else. Now, in order to say that, you have to say that the Rishonim read Sefer Yehudis. Did they? Gemara's not talking about Yehudis. Gemara doesn't say a word. And Rashi says, because of the story of Matizio's daughter, seems to be Matizio's daughter, that a miracle happened because of her, because she didn't want to get herself violated by the Hegemon. What does it mention anything about Yehudis? But Gemara does say the women are part of the Shafei and Hoye Boi Sanes. The Gemara says my Chanukah, and the Gemara says the whole story. Okay, but here it says Aldeisha Nasanes. So Rashi says doesn't necessarily mean the story of Yehudis. But the Rishonim clearly say the story of Yehudis. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that the story of Yehudis, her name was Yehudis, and you have to have cheese. So where did they get it from? So you have to say they got it from the Apocrypha, correct? No, if you got it from the Apocrypha, no more you have to say they read the Apocrypha. Where else would they get it from? So this is, by the way, this is big, big dialogues. I have a whole book over here that has three chapters on the story of Yehudis. Where did they get it from? Where did Rishonim get it from? Where did others get it from? What's true? What's not true? Fascinating. The whole, even by the non-Jewish scholars, they take apart the Book of Judith. I was just reading now on the internet today. You can find anything. And the Book of Judith from the original Syrian. And you see there's articles written that what time period was it, because the names don't make sense. And there's big, big discussions. This book, Sefer Yehudis, when it took place, how it took place. So before we can even say that, we first have to say the Rishonim read from the Apocrypha. Do we say that? It's a big chiddush. So they say, again, I found in this article, that he'll prove to you that the Ramban quotes from Sefer Yehudis. And I'll show you where. Look at the Ramban and Dvarim. Ramban and Dvarim says, V'rashi kosav, loisis amel bo. You may not use her. Loisis tachas ha-shainisa. Right? A woman that's a oinis umafata, I believe it was. So loisis amel bo, you may not use her, tachas ha-shainisa, because you raped her. So what's loisis amel bo? So the Ramban says, lo tishtamesh bo. The word amel bo is lo tishtamesh bo. You may not use her. Veloshen pasi kois koirin la'avoido v'shimush, to serve, is the word amiro. Miseyish Ramosha Dashon amadati zois. I learned this from Rabbi Moshe Dashon. V'zeyemes, says the Ramban. Shekein ro'isi b'Yerushalmi, because I saw the Yerushalmi, tamon tzvachin l'pal etova amiro. V'vekom Rabbi Kivvekom Eslamim. Now, continues the Ramban. Umurgul hu af b'loshen arami. And even in Aramaic, the word amel means to serve. K'gmoshe kosuf b'megillas Shushan. Like it's written in the scroll of Shushan. We're going to soon see what that means. What is written in the scroll of Shushan? This is a loose translation, because remember, it was translated from Hebrew into Aramaic. V'shoda malko d'atur al-kuloin amiro d'ninve. And the king of Ashur sent al-kulon amiro d'ninve and all the servants, his servants of Ninve, v'al-kol d'amrin al-yad yoma, and all the servants al-yad yoma next to the ocean, v'al-amu d'kalmelo d'gilod, and on his servants, to his servants in the Carmel and the Gilot, v'al-pichuk is gomo d'nebuchadnezzar, and they refused to listen to the words of Nebuchadnezzar. Vaphichu means opposite. The Pisgama of Nebuchadnezzar refused to listen to the words of Nebuchadnezzar. Kuloin amorayo daro, all the servants of his lands, veloitechdelun mimenu, and they were not scared of him. That's what he quotes from Megillah Shushan with the words Amir, right? Amra, and Amir meaning servant. Now, where is this Megillah Shushan? So if you look in Sefer Yehudis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Ches, but this is written in Hebrew, but it's exactly these words, the apocryphy. Vayishlach Nebuchadnezzar Melech Ashur Malachim, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Ashur, sends his messengers, Likroi, to call Liyoshve Poras and Liyoshve Marov, to the ones who sit in Persia. And that's Nineveh, by the way. Nineveh is Persia. Ule Yoshve Marov, that's the one sitting on the ocean. Yam. Yam was the west side. Yoshve Marov, the servants in the west. Vehem. Kilkilia, Vidamesek, Vahalavonoin, Vahakarmel, Vahagilod. Right? It's a loose translation. So he just quotes it from the Aramaic, which was a loose translation of what the Hebrew, which is also a translation of the, you know, original Hebrew that we have. But basically, that's what he says. He calls them all. Vayamanu at the end. And they refuse, Kol Goye Arotas Eile, all these people living in these lands, Lishmoya b'kol Melech Ashur, to listen to the king of Ashur, v'loivol le'ezot v'mchomet, they didn't come to him to help him in the war, ki lo yoru miponov, because they were not scared of him. So they say that these words of the Ramban that he quotes, that Amir means servant, is exactly the story which is quoted in the beginning of Sefer Yehudis. Because it's more or less a translation of what he did. The king of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Ashur, and by the way, it must be it, because the Raman starts off with Shodar Malko de Asu, the king of Ashur. Now, Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Ashur, we're going to get to that in a minute. All the secular historians are busy with this. What do you mean, Nebuchadnezzar was not the king of Ashur? He was the king of Babel. Ashur was beforehand. So what time period? They say maybe Nebuchadnezzar is just a title for an emperor. It's not really clear which time period this took place. But anyway, the Ramban had Sefer Yehudis in front of him. Okay. The problem, if you say that all the Rishonim got the story of Yehudis, and that's why we eat cheese on Hanukkah, based on the story of Yehudis, that she chopped off the head of this general, and they got it from Sefer Yehudis, turn now to the book of Judith in number 7. The problem is that in the book of Yehudis, it's a whole different story. First of all, it starts off, I mean, it's not starting off, it's maybe 15 chapters, I just took a part of it. But it starts off basically that this guy, Holofernes, which was Alifarni, which was the general, he was a general of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Assyria. Look at this. Now the children of Israel that dwelt in Judea heard it all, that Holofernes, the chief captain of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrians, had done to the nations. In other words, Holofernes is the chief captain of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrians. So that's problematic. If you tell me it happened in a Hanukkah story, all right, Nebuchadnezzar maybe means the general term for emperor. But king of the Assyrians, I mean, the Greeks is not Ashur. So unless you say the Seleucid kingdom is the same area as Ashur and it refers to him, there are too many things which don't really fit. That's about Holofernes. Anyway, and then he says the whole story. We're going to soon see the whole story, basically. Basically the story is, at least the way we know the story, from different places as well, but what basically, in Sefer Yehudis, where they describe the story, is that there was a siege by Holofernes on the city of Yerushalayim. and people realized that they were being blockaded by Alifarni, this Greek general. So Yehudis, who was a widower, lived in the city, and she decided, or she was in the city, and she decided she's going to try and save the entire city of Yerushalayim. She was a woman with immense beauty, so she sneaked out of the walled city, and she comes, she goes past the guards, the way you're going, said, I'm going to the other army, I'm going to the Greek army. She comes to the Greek garrison, and she says, I want to speak to the general. She said, what do you want? So she says basically that the situation is very dire in Jerusalem, and people have nothing to eat, and they're already eating the carbonus, they're eating from all the food which they're not supposed to be eating, and the God is not going to be on their side, and I realize that the city is lost, and therefore I want to help you so that you should save my family. But
after?
Yeah. Well, like we said, the Greeks were not finished with the Maccabim, right? Yehuda was busy in other battles. Yerushalayim, the Jews living, maybe Jews were back living over there. It's funny how many years afterwards, maybe it was a few years afterwards, you know, that the Jews were living again in Yerushalayim. But the Greeks came and put a siege around it. She wanted to come out. She wanted to save the city. She devised a plan that she comes in. She told Alifarni that I'm here to help you out and that you should find the optimal time. The optimal time you should conquer the city. So she writes over here, look in Pasuk 12, or at least verse 12. For the victuals fail them, I know what that means, maybe that's water, and all the water is scant, and they have determined they lay hands upon their cattle and propose to consume all those things that God has forbidden them to eat by his laws. And has resolved to spend the first fruits of the tenth of wine and oil, which they had sanctified and reserved for the priests that serve in Yerushalayim before the face of our God. The which thing is not loaf any people so much so as to touch with their hands. Meaning they're eating ready from the true men from all the forbidden foods. And she sent to Alifarni saying, let my Lord now command that thy handmaid may go forth unto prayer. So she goes and meets Alifarni. So she says, but in order for me to know when the God is going to give them the city, is going to give the city into your hands, I need to go out of your camp every evening with my maidservant, because I need to find a place where I can pray to my God. So that's what he says, I want to go out for prayer, so like this I can go out and find pray, and like this I can tell you when is the right time to attack. So he said, 7, then Holofernes commanded his guard that they should not stay here. Thus she abode in the camp 3 days, and went out in the night into the valley of Bethulia, and washed herself in a fountain of water by camp. In other words, she devised a plan where she convinced them that even though I'm in the Greek camp, I'm now here, but nevertheless, every night I need to be able to go out for my prayers outside the Greek camp. And look at number 10. And in the fourth day, Holofernes made a feast to his own servants only, and called none of the officers to the banquet. Then he said to Baguus, the Enoch, that's his servant, who had charge all that he has, go now and persuade this Hebrew woman which is with thee, that she come unto us and let eat and drink with us. In other words, he desired this woman, Yehudis. So on the fourth day, for lo, be a shameful person, we shall let such a woman go, not having had her company. See, he desired Yehudis on the fourth day. So the whole story goes, and she tries to get him drunk. And look at number 17. Then said Holofernes unto her, drink now and be merry with us. So Judah said, I will drink now, my lord, because my life is magnified in me this day, more than all the days since I was born. Then she took and ate and drank before him what a maid had prepared. And Holofernes took great delight in her, and drank more wine than he had drunk at any time in one day since she was born. And she gave him a lot of wine to drink, and he got drunk. Not a word is mentioned in Judas about cheese and wine. Cheese, no milk. All it says is wine. And then the famous story that he fell asleep, and she smote twice upon his neck with all her might. She took away his head from him, right? Everybody was out of the room. They thought he was with her. And she knocked his head off. She killed him and tumbled his body down from the bed and pulled down the canopy from the pillars. And after none, she went forth and gave Holofernes his head to her maid. She took the head, put it inside her knapsack. She put it in a bag of meat because she went out every night. So they twain went together according to their custom unto prayer. Remember, when she said she moved into the camp 3 days ago, she said, every night I need to go out to pray outside the camp. So they saw her walk out that night as well. So they figured it's just the usual, she's going out to pray. And when they passed the camp, they could pass the valley and went up to the mount of Bethulia and came to the gates thereof. Then said Judas afar off to the watch in the gate, open now the gate God, our God, is with us to show his power yet in Jerusalem, and is supposed against the enemy, has done that to this day, etc., etc. She comes in, she shows them what she has in the bag, the head of Alifarni. They put it on the walls the next morning. The Greeks wake up and they go and look for the general, and it describes him. If you want to look into it, it describes in great detail in the book of Judith. You can look into it either on the internet, or you can look in the other Midrashim as well. And they wake up and they look in the morning and they see that, open up the pillows and they see his body is there without a head. And then they go outside Yerushalayim and they see the head is on top of the walls and they all get scared and they all run away. And that's how she saved the city of Yerushalayim. So ostensibly, possibly, the Rishonim got the story of Yehudis from the Apocrypha, from the book of Sefer Yehudis. The problem with that is fourfold. Number one, there's not a mention over here about cheese. I mean, if this is the only source, where did the cheese? You don't make up cheese. Where did the cheese come from? Where did Shrenim get the thing of cheese? Not a word is mentioned. This is word for word Sefer Yehudis. Not a word is mentioned about cheese. So to say Dominicus eat cheese because she gave cheese, where did they get it from? Number one. What? Cheese? She gave him milk. Okay, where cheese? To say such a thing. Number one. Number two, if you look in Sefer Yehudis, I don't want to quote it, but basically says over there that it was Yehudis who was a daughter of Merari, who was a great-great-great-great-grandchild from Shevet Shimon. Now, if you tell me Matzio Yehudis is Ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, she's from the Kohanim. She's not from Shevet Shimon. That's the second problem. The third problem is, I mean, like we said in the beginning, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrians, I mean, this doesn't sound like a Hanukkah story, you know, but Pashtus has nothing to do with Hanukkah. And therefore, you know, it's a bit problematic. Where the story, you know, they speak about the cheese, and they speak about from Sefer Yehudis, where they get it from. So the truth is, the Yaakov Emden, who is always a bit of a maverick, he writes, look at number 8, in Halacha, on Tzompesh Ayin, they get the cheese, says the Yaakov Emden, V'huzal hoisiv loimal, shenes Chanukah k'moike nasal de'noshim, v'zed dovo badui. Yeah, Mati, not my words. If Yaakov Emden said, that's made up. All the Gemara says, they're part of the miracle. That they were part of the decrees, because men were going to get killed if they kept Shabbos, and women, they had to be violated by the Egmoim. Lo shein hein hayu sibo vagam nes kenoida mesifa milchama sachesh manaim umedivrei hayosifun. In other words, if you look in Josephus and in the book of the Chashmonaim, there's not a word mentioned about them doing any miracle. Josephus and Chashmonaim don't mention the story of Yehudis at all. And therefore, the Marzia, Yaakov Emden says, davar badui. In other words, what the Ramah says, that a miracle is done through a woman, through Yehudis, is made up, he says. Gamma Python Ashkenazi, the Yetzir, the Shabbos Chanukah, even the piyut, which is in Shabbos Chanukah, that he speaks about the story about Yehudis, Iyobev Meise Shnei Nisim Mischalfim. He mixes up two stories. Urechoike Moed Bizmaneem Zemizeh. They happen at two different time periods. Veloi Korav Zelzeh. In other words, one story has nothing to do with the other. There's one story that anybody got married has to be violated to the general. That's one story. And there's another story about a story of Yehudis who at the time of end of Bayis Rishon, perhaps, maybe beginning of Bayis Sheni, she went, she saved the city, as is written in Sefer Yehudis. But that one has nothing to do with the story of the Chashmonaim, he says. Im loy shenema, maybe you want to say, Shirotze losez zitzgom gam l'nes Yehudis. Maybe you want the story of Yehudis took place, but it didn't happen in Chanukah. So maybe the Python, on Chanukah, if you want to give a memory also to the miracle which took place Yehudis in Bayis Sheni, She'iro Bizman Kadmoin, happened much earlier time, be made Golus Bayis Rishon, in the beginning of Bayis, at the end of Bayis Rishon, in the time of the Golus, V'lai Matzah Le'Makom Yuchad, he couldn't find a special place, V'tzir from the Nes Chanukah. And he added on with Nes Chanukah. We'll leave that for another time. Basically, he says that the minikis, that they shouldn't do milacha, But for another reason, he says, but not because of the story of Yehudis. Yes, the story of Yehudis took place. Absolutely we know it took place. But according to Yaakov Emden, it did not take place in the story of Hanukkah at all. It happened hundreds of years earlier. It's about a woman, Yehudis, who wanted to save the Yerushalayim from siege, from Halifarni, who was a general of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrians. We don't even know which some secular scholars say happened in the time of Sancheiriv, which is way early in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. You know, this whole story happened much earlier. We put two and two together, and then we say, well, because in Hanukkah was a separate story. The women have to be violated by the Greek generals, so they put two stories together. That's the way of Yaakov Emden. He basically discounts the entire story. Rashi just means, because they were supposed to be violated by the generals, and therefore they're part of the miracle. No, that's right. Maybe even the story, because Matthew's daughter was about to get violated, and that's how the whole story took place. The whole thing took place because of that. But, mind you, they all argue on the Yaakov Emden, because we're showing him saying, not like that. The Kolbash is not like that. The Ram says not like that. Even the Shiltas, the Rav Chai Goin, which is from the Goinim, they bring down the story of Yehudis already. So to say, just like that, the story of Yehudis happened hundreds of years earlier, they're not so happy. But then, where did they get it from? If they didn't get it from Sefer Yehudis, where did Rishonim get the story from? And by the way, you mentioned before, whether the story of Yehudis actually took place now, or took place earlier, the Ramav Mipanu, who was from the early Achronim, big Mekubal, he writes that Yehudis was a Gilgul of Yael. Now, the reason why he was a Gilgul of Yael, because Yael also saved Klal Yisrael by being with Sisera, and she did the same thing, but she lived with Sisera. That's called Avera Lishma, the Gemara calls, right? She met Lishem Shemaim, but she had relations with Sisera in order to save Klal Yisrael, and the Gemara calls it Avera Lishma. Yehudis was a Gilgul and a Tikkun to Yael, because she did the same thing without doing anything. In other words, without living with him. She got out of it because she said, no, nothing. That night, when he wanted, the fourth night, then she got drunk first, she killed him, and therefore the Ramami Panu says that Yehudis was a Gilgal of Yael, and she was Misakin Yael, even though Yael, the Gemara says, was Aveira Lishma, and it was the same Shemaim, and she didn't do anything wrong, but nevertheless, she was a Tikkun of Yael. But there is a similarity between both stories. So that is the way Yaakov Emden learns. But at the end of the day, the last 150 years, they found, and I saw this in all these things, they found a whole bunch of old ksavyads from the time of Rishonim, from Midrashim. They quote Midrashim, which they had under their command. Midrashim describing in detail the story of Yehudis. Midrashim that they had, in other words, supposedly the Yaakov Emden did not have these Midrashim. Midrashim, written by Tanoim, I suppose. Yeah, old Midrashim which they found, that documents the story of Yehudis. And here's one of them in number 10 on the sheet, and that's the entire story of Yehudis. And you see, it's very similar to the one. So maybe the story of the Book of Judith does belong in the Chashmonaim. It's not clear. I'm not saying it doesn't. It could be, you know, all these questions aren't being answered, and it could be it's not clear. It's, after all, it's a translation of a translation. But we know that the Ar Midrashim talking the safe story of Yehudis actually took place in the Hanukkah story. And look at number 10 on the sheet, we'll just see it. Chazal put Esther, that was the whole thing. Esther they put in, and this they didn't put in. Absolutely. So we gave a whole shiur about that. We gave a whole shiur about that in the beginning, all the way in the beginning. By the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, and they started which one is, exactly. And Esther they put in, and it's not clear when this Book of Yehudis took place. You go home tonight, Mati, you go on the internet, and you see exactly Book of Yehudis, you know, when did it take place, and you'll see this back and forth. I saw it just now from a scholar, Marcos van de Ploeg, some Dutch scholar, and he writes four scenarios when it could have taken place. And he literally goes through every sentence in this Book of Judith if it took place in the time of, I think he comes out saying it took place in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Sancheiriv. But one of the tzadim he brings, that it took place in the time of the Chashmonaim, because you know, because everybody else has it in time to Chashanoim, and he brings in all the sources. But it's not clear, even from this, you know, this great detail, it's not clear when it exactly took place. But it wasn't canonized. We know it wasn't. Why not? He just says, this story took place in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. Happened way earlier. Nice story. It happened, the story. Not saying the story did not take place, and it's a wonderful thing, but it has nothing to do with the Hanukkah story. Why do we not eat cheese? And why do we eat cheese and milk at Hanukkah? I don't know. He says, you know, for a different reason, he says. That's what he says. He has a reason. He gives a different reason. Nush and Dath and Kalis. What? Okay. If anybody knows if Yaakov Emden, he was a real, you know, he did things the way he felt, and that's it. He didn't have to tow, you know, anything. Anyway, just to show you the end part, the Medrash Chanukah actually brings down the story of Yehuda as well. And not just, I saw now in this book, he brings down five different Midrashim with different Gesoris, and they all slightly a little varied, but more or less have the same story. And it's very similar to the story of Yehuda. But he writes over here, Vateitze, number 10. Vateitze Yehudis min ha'ir, ha'iv ha'moso. Vayishir, vayi kashe yodu min ha'on, they went down from the mountain. Be'eis ha'loise shacha. Pogu babu shem ha'melech, Eliforni. And they met the guards of Eliforni. Vayitavshu leim ha'mayin boso v'ona telechi. Vatoim aleim Yehudis, v'mnoise ivrim ha'noichi, v'evrach b'chobem mi'itom. I'm trying to run away from them. Ki yudachim, because I know, ki imsru b'yetchem. Because they're going to be delivered in your hands. V'lechein chashavti etzli leimav. Elchanali lifnei shari lifani legalos leisloides. I want to reveal in the sukkahs in my Yehudim about the Jews who lahayrois and to teach, to tell laanshe atzoves adech yelchubaves maisa shiasun lilkay desayir to capture the city ulatayso v'lo yipol mimachneo adechad. I don't want nobody else to die from the Greek soldiers. I want to give myself up. I want to save. I want to prevent the battle. V'kasher shamu zivrei anoshim asher tafsuo. They were smitten by her beauty. They were surprised that a Jewish person could be so beautiful. And he goes on and on and on. They brought in front of Eliphani. So look in number two. And then she describes to Eliphani the terrible situation going on in the city. He says, they're scared of you because they sinned for their God, and there's hunger, there's no water to drink, with thirsty, they're ready to slaughter their cattle. Sounds very much like the book of Judith. And they wanted to permit the kachim asher tziva shem lekeim bishmirotzom vishlayenu meima bechitim v'yayinu v'shemen, not to have the wheat and the oil and the wine from the kabanas, right? But they have no choice because they're starving. V'im yasu zeh heima yevdu v'ato tamoit. If they do that, don't worry, then you'll survive, because then the God will be really angry at them. V'kashedati z'ani amosecho nasi mitom, I knew this, I ran away from them. V'shachan elekim nagi lecha v'ulam Anoich Yehudis Amasechem, me, your servant Yehudis, Avedis, Hashem Lekei, Gamate, B'yos Etzlecha. Even now, when I'm by you, I still want to serve my God. Asher Alkein, Anoich Eitze, Gimel Pomin B'yoyim, I want to leave the camp, the Greek camp, 3 times a day. Mati, how many times a day did she daven? 3 times a day. V'espala lefnei Hashem Lekei, and I'll daven in front of my God. V'espala lefnei Lekei, V'yagidli, and he'll tell me, Mosai Yishalom Lem Kepulom, V'choyim Aloysom. I'll hear from him, my God, that by praying to him 3 times a day, when is the right time for you to attack? And then he goes on, Vayiba Yamashisha was on the 3rd day. And he told his head, Lemar, Lech Noreim Tucha Lefata, see if you can seduce. But Leratso says, Yehudis Azoi, Shova Eleo. I desire. And that's the exact same thing what he says over there. Maybe you perhaps can dine with him tonight. Same words. Whenever he wants, it's better for me my entire life. Almost the same words. Right? Where does he say that? Because my life is magnified in me this day more than all the days since I was born. Almost word for word. Vatikach vatilbash bigde tivato vatofe v'tamu defonov vayikavay samelech is yofyo take of hukah. He was smitten v'nochle ma'avos ha'isa v'yem la'melech ichli lachmech b'simcha eat your bread u'shtiv le'efteyelik b'tozach emeinai, etc. And then she says, look at number 4, vateshev, and she went vatoichal vatiftach ez noid ha'cholov, and she opened up the crucial words the milk jar, Vateisht, Vigamis HaMelech Ishkosa, Vayismach HaMelech, Om Ima Moed, Vayishtu Yain Habe Moed, Mimasha Shoskal Mechayov, again the same words, and he drank more than he ever drank before, and he got drunk, and then, because of the cheese and the wine, and she killed him, and the same ending happened, the same story happened. So the verdict is out, I don't know, is the story of Yehudis, the one over here written in Apocryphy, did it really take place in the time of Chashmonaim? And all these questions that here seems to be from the Shimon, and we say it's from Matzioch, from the Koyin, and this seems to say Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Assyrians, or maybe there are two separate stories, it's not clear. There's big debate even amongst the religious scholars. Svarma written about it. I saw a whole book written about it called Mamleches Koyanim, and it goes back and forth. He does say, however, that we found five or six Midrashim, which the Rishonim had in their possession, which seems to say that it took place during the Chashmonaim and during the Hanukkah story. So, what do we have after all this is said and done? The story of Yehudis definitely took place. And the story happened the way the Midrashim say it happened with the Shiz, and it happened, and we know why it happened, and she was in Yerushalayim, and she wanted to save the city of Yerushalayim, and she went down and she did the whole thing, and she took off his head, and she brought it back in the bag, but she was able to go out three times a day anyway, and they put it on the walls of Yerushalayim. Now, did it happen in the time of Hanukkah, like all the Rishonim seem to say, and based on that we have the cheese on Hanukkah and the milk, and that's why women are boys and nest, that's the way the Rishonim seem to say. Reb Yaakov Emden, maybe he's not the only one, but he seems to be on this one, maybe he is the only one, he says, no, this story took place way beforehand, we include it in the Hanukkah story, but that is not the reason why women don't do melacha. He's talking about women doing melacha. He's talking about something else altogether, because the Xera was on them as well, and that's why they have the Hanukkah, that's why they have to keep light the candles, and the cheese is for a different reason, and it didn't happen during that time period. So the question is out there, and if your kids ask you in Hanukkah, oh, you only serve Yehudis, not so simple, the whole thing is up there, it's out there for debate. That's basically analyzing it from a historical perspective, when it took place, how it took place. The story definitely took place. Questions on the what perspective and what circumstance, it's debatable. Even the Archa Shulchan, by the way, he writes in number 9 that he also separates the two. He says, on the one hand, Afhein Hoye Baisanes means that every woman had to be violated and therefore they were part of the decrees. And then he says, Va'oid, Behem Shechazman, later on, Nasen Nesal De Yehudis, Shishkesas Oye Cholet, that she gave the enemy to drink milk. And therefore he says, Afhein Smachzeh, Yesh medakten lechol bina b'chanukah, af shlo hoye zeh b'zman nes chanukah. He says the story of the Yehudis happened way later, and even though it didn't happen in the Chanukah story, but nevertheless, it's all part of Bayis Sheni, and that's why the minhag is to eat cheese on Chanukah. So it's not clear, even amongst the Archa Shulchan, the Yaakov Emden, the Rishonim, it's back and forth. Svarim are written it all about the story of Yehudis, exactly when it took place. Yeah, there are like 5 other midrashim like that. Why, Book of Judah is also an original source. Oh, with cheese in it. Yeah, there's not a word of cheese there. Yeah, that's also true. It's a translation back. I was looking for it in Aramaic. Couldn't find it on the internet. Right. It could be Nebuchadnezzar as the title of an emperor, and Ashur is really another way of saying Syria, that area. Yeah, it's not clear. It could very well be. That's why many Rishonim say that, yes.
An original source, it's not in the Apocrypha, it's not in the Book of
Judas,
so only the
Midrash. The Midrashim, the various Midrashim about that, yes.
And from that, all the Rishonim say.
And they followed like that, Halach L'maaseh, because they felt, based on that, Ramah says clearly, we have cheese on Hanukkah, because the miracle took place on Hanukkah. Rosh Hashanah himself says, no, it happened after Hanukkah. Yaakov Emden said, it happened way before 100. The thing off. Yaakov Emden, you know, is always a mess.